Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark chapter 10. Oh, praise God. It sure is good to see all of you tonight. It's worth being in church, I'll tell you. It's worth the effort to come. It's worth the gas money. It's worth going out in the cold. It's worth the time. You might get home a little later, but it's worth it. Praise God. Putting the kingdom first. Mark chapter 10. You know, the last two services we've had, not just Wednesday night, but the last Wednesday we had, and this past Sunday, we talked about blind Bartimaeus. And, you know, I just can't get away from that out of my spirit. There's still more to dive into there. And I tried to go away, and I kept feeling that tug to go back. And it's just amazing how much you can pull out of one little. The Word of God is awesome. It's just alive and powerful. And so we're going to dive further into it and see what God has for us tonight and believe that we're helped. But let's pray for utterance to make sure what he wants said is said tonight. Father, we're honored. We're excited about the word. And Lord, as I enter in to this prayer with you, Father, I just, at the forefront of my heart and my mind are the people that came out tonight. And Father, you don't look lightly upon those things. Lord, there's many people that are so casual and have lost hunger for the things of God. And to come out on a night when it's probably going to drop in the single digits and maybe you've worked all day and to come out and make an effort to be here and to drive certain ways to come to church. Father, you're not unrighteous to forget. You will reward people. And so, Lord, I thank you the reward starts tonight. I thank you we're blessed by the word. I thank you we go from glory to glory. Father, I thank you that what you want said is said. What you want done will be done. And Father, we'll always give you the glory. We'll always give you the praise. We never want to hijack that from you, Father, or rob that from you. Father, we know that you are the vine. We're just branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we thank you for what's going to transpire here tonight. We thank you there's a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And we say that we're going to a new level of glory. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's read it real quick. Mark chapter 10, in verse 46, it says, "And when they came to Jericho, when he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good comfort, arise, he calls you.' In verse 50, he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And I'll tell you, this portion of Scripture gives me hope. Praise God. It gives me hope that my blessing's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on a spouse or a family member or a boss, praise God. It's dependent upon faith. Hallelujah. And we know this, that we like to say this around here, that you don't get in life what you deserve, you get in life what you believe for. And it's the truth, you know. You can look in the body of Christ even. It's sad, but it's true, that there's almost categories of people. Not that God has intended that way, it's just people fall into certain categories. You know, you'll see certain Christians who are blessed, who are filled with peace and joy and just have victory in their lives. And then you'll see another group of Christians who are not blessed, who are living far beneath what God has provided, who are continually depressed, crisis after crisis, defeat after defeat. And you look at that, and one of two things is happening. Either God has picked and, you know, chosen who he wants in the good category, the bad category, or there's a part we have to play. I love the fact that the Bible says that we've been given a measure of faith. He starts us all out on the same level. He starts us out with the same opportunities, praise God. And what we do with it is up to us. And we see here that this man's faith changed a dire, dire situation. That Jesus didn't say, "Thank your lucky stars I was here." He didn't chalk it up to, you know, anything but blind Bartimaeus' faith. And we see that a lot in the New Testament when Jesus ministered to somebody. He credited their faith as the reason being that there was a blessing. So it gives us hope, hallelujah, that our faith, praise God. But we know this too, and we looked at this last week, last Wednesday, that the first thing we saw was that the Bible says in verse 47 that blind Bartimaeus heard of Jesus. That everything started from that place. That when he heard, he gained knowledge, right? We said this, that knowledge is birthed, knowledge gives birth to faith, right? You could say it this way, that knowledge is faith's mommy. Praise the Lord. Yeah, knowledge is faith's mommy. I never thought of it that way, but it's the truth. You know, my mommy, someone birthed me and I call her mommy. So, you know, faith gets birthed out of knowledge, so knowledge is faith's mommy, and praise God, without knowledge, there is no faith. Without knowledge, there is no miracle here. That got everything going, got everything started. And, you know, when you look over in Mark 5 and you see the woman with the issue of blood, another miracle, dire situation, where Jesus said, your faith made you whole. We see in a situation with the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was grievously vexed to the devil. Jesus said, your faith was basically attributed to what made your daughter whole. And all these cases, and in Mark 5, when it talks about the woman with the issue of blood, it says, when she heard of Jesus. It all started when she heard and she got knowledge. Praise God. And so we're going to start tonight, or we're going to look at tonight, the importance of knowledge and having a hunger to go after knowledge. I think you'll be amazed at what you see in the Bible. We know this, that in Hosea 4 and verse 6, it says what? Very strong words. It says, My people, I love how he puts that there first, because that denotes that he has a fondness and an affection and a love for who he's talking about. Because he is love. And Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed. That's heavy language. Not just tripped up, not just, you know, stubbing their toes and caused to stumble a little bit. They're absolutely and utterly destroyed. Destruction has come in their life for a lack of knowledge. That's amazing. He doesn't say because of what part of the country they were born in, or what their last name was, or what race they were, or, you know, what their inheritance was growing up, or what their socioeconomic background was growing up. No, it doesn't matter. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If you can bring the knowledge of the gospel, see, the Bible says the entrance of thy word brings light. There's dark places all around the world. But see, those places are not being held back solely by the devil. They're not solely being held back because of poverty or sickness reign supreme. They're being held back because the light of the knowledge of the gospel has not been able to penetrate it. See, the gospel can penetrate and drive out all manner of darkness. But it's a lack of knowledge why people are destroyed. And I'll tell you what, that helped me, because God sure gets a lot of blame, doesn't he? He sure gets a lot of blame for a lot of things. But the Bible says my people are destroyed. Jesus said in John chapter 8, in verse 32, he said, if you know the truth will set you free. It doesn't matter that, it's not enough that there's truth. It's not enough that there's just truth available. We use that example where, you know, there's truth sitting on the shelves at Walmart, isn't there? And the sick person will walk by it. The poor person will walk by it. The troubled person in mentally and in their mind and in their life and problems with their children. They'll walk by knowledge all the time. Knowledge that has the ability to set them free, but they don't know it. They don't know it. Praise God. What does it say over there in Proverbs 4? It says, my words are health to all your flesh and life to those that find them. Praise God. It's got the ability. So we need to understand, because when you understand that it all starts with knowledge, that knowledge is something that you need to cram in you, that knowledge is something you have to have a lifetime pursuit to get more knowledge, you'll recognize the value of it. When you see what the Bible says, you'll see a value placed on it and start putting yourself in position to receive that. I saw that today. You know, with knowledge comes opportunity. With knowledge comes advantages. With knowledge comes favor. I saw that today. It was interesting how preparing for this service, this happened, and it was be able to use an illustration. I'm not much of a gun person. I don't have anything against guns. I own guns. I have a pistol permit, but I'm just not like a gun nut or a gun aficionado. You know, I basically have a gun to get me in the woods for that season. You know, I have a squirrel gun, a turkey gun, and a deer gun. And then I have my bodyguard gun that I keep on me when I'm out in public, right? Praise the Lord. And so I just don't know too much about guns. I'm not really too thrilled about them in the sense of it's not something I get too excited about, but it does enable me to hunt, which I love that. But Pastor Tim Stallman, now that is a gun aficionado. I mean, he studies these things, reads up on them, prices different things, different models from different years. I mean, he is somebody, when he dives into something, he dives all the way in. You know, he got interested in sailing years back and actually went to sailing school. I mean, this is before he got called to the ministry, but he knows so much about guns. And I've had this gun that I've wanted to sell. And it's a nice gun, and I knew that it would sell pretty quick. But it just sat in my gun safe because I don't know anything about it. I wouldn't know the first place to how to even begin to sell a gun and not get ripped off or not rip somebody else off or do it so I don't end up in jail. I mean, you know, it's good to not end up in jail, praise the Lord. And I didn't know, and it just sat there. Why? I was not confident at all because I didn't have any knowledge on it. So he texted me out of the blue today, and he said, "Do you still want to sell that one gun?" Because I think I had made mention of it before. And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Why don't you bring it over?" He only lives 5 minutes from me. I said, "Okay." So I brought it over to him, and I got to his house at 2:36 in the afternoon. Now, this is a gun that's been sitting there for months that I want to sell. 2:36 in the afternoon, I stayed there for probably 10, 15 minutes talking to him and his wife and his two little boys. And then I left, and I sent him a text at 3:26, just joking around. I said, "Did you sell it yet?" He said, "I'm on it right now." 2 seconds later, he goes, "Sold. Sold it to a guy in Texas." I mean, I was like, but all because he knew who to go to. He had knowledge of what the gun would sell for. He had knowledge of other deals he could put together with the gun, what he could get from other people. And not only did I benefit and I got exact dollar amount that I wanted, he made money on the deal too by getting, I don't know, he worked all this thing, but it all started with knowledge. All started with knowledge. He knew more than me, and there he had an advantage on me selling that gun. I'm just glad he likes me because I benefited. Praise the Lord. So I saw that. Now go with me real quick to Philippians 2 and verse 8. Philippians 2 and verse 8. We're talking about the importance of knowledge. You can't be a faith champ without knowledge.
That's right.
You can't. And I'll just say it this way. Ignorance is not bliss.
Right.
And what you don't know will hurt you. You know, they say, "Oh, what you don't know can't hurt you." Oh, it can hurt you. It can hurt you bad. Philippians 2 in verse 8. That is not where I want to go. Philippians 3 in verse 8. Is where I want to go. Philippians 3 and verse 8 says, yes, this is Paul talking. He says, doubtless, he says, "I count all things." That's a big statement, all things. "I count all things but loss," notice this, "for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." He says, I count everything loss compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What's he saying? I place a value and an importance on what I know. Praise God. Heather, would you please pull that up in the Amplified Bible? I want to bring a point out here. We saw this in Pastor Tim selling that gun, how knowledge will give you an advantage in things. It says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, notice this, the surpassing worth. So he's placed, those are big words. Those are value words, place and value. But look what the next one says. And supreme advantage of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. You can go back to the King James, please. So the Bible says in the Amplified that there's a supreme advantage. And I'll tell you what, the Christians that know, they have a supreme advantage over the Christians that don't know.
Amen.
They do. Because there's going to be situations, tests and trials that are going to rise up, and what you know and what you don't know is going to make or it's going to break you. Praise God. It is. You know, I was thinking about this story. I don't know if you heard it. It just happened. Who here has heard of Vince Lombardi? The old football coach. If you haven't, he was a famous old football coach who coached the Green Bay Packers. I believe he won the first two ever official Super Bowls. And somebody bought an old vest or sweater vest or something at a thrift store for, I think it was less than a dollar. And they got it home and they knew that this thing looks familiar. I've seen this somewhere before, and they researched it. Well, it was one of Coach Lombardi's coats that he used to wear, and they'd have old pictures of it. Well, the thing ended up being sold for like $30,000 to $40,000+. Now, if my wife goes to that thrift store, she would have never bought it. It's hideous. I mean, it's, you know, if you have one like it, I'm so sorry that you do. I'm not sorry I called it hideous. I'm sorry you have one. What's wrong with you? No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm kidding. And so, but if my wife went in there and bought that thing for whatever reason she'd want to buy it, I don't even know what she would. But if she did, I'll tell you what, that's all we'd get was that vest, because she doesn't have any knowledge of those things. She wouldn't have a, but because those people knew something, they got an advantage. And all those people that passed by that thing, in that thing, just, ew. Ew. But they got it. I don't even know if they got it knowing that, or if what the reason they got it for was, maybe just something vintage. But they did, and they because of their knowledge, they were able to act. So you can't act on what you don't know.
That's right.
You can't act on what you don't know. And we're going to pull up some examples here. But think about what comes with knowledge. Confidence comes with knowledge. A boldness comes with knowledge. Things that you're going to need against an enemy. You know, when you think about what Jesus said, he said that basically he told you tests and trials are coming. James said this, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when, not if, when you fall into diverse tests and trials, various tests and trials. He says, that's why I tell people, get ready, hell's coming. You're going to get the ring on the doorbell and hell's going to be there. Don't fret and don't be worried. You got the victory over those things. But to think we can avoid these things is foolish. I mean, we saw Jesus, he had tests. We saw Paul, he had tests. Praise God. But we always have the victory. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hallelujah. So if you look at it like a school test, think about a school test. Now, if we know that the Bible says, let us come boldly, that boldness is required. You see in these faith giants, there's this air of boldness about them, that I'm not going to put up with this, that I'm going to take what's mine. What belongs to me, I'm going to get it. Well, we know this, that when, at least I know, that when I would sit down for the majority of the tests I had in school, I wasn't very confident. I wasn't very bold. The reason being is I didn't know very much. I didn't take the time. And so when I got presented with the test, or I got presented with a question that I had no knowledge, my confidence would go out the window. Right? Well, think about it when tests show up for people all the time. Tests show up for people and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to act. And we know this, that it's not the test that's the problem, it's the response. The test itself is not the issue. Because there again, in school, you can have the same exact test, and somebody can get 100 and somebody can get a failing grade. Why? Because it wasn't the test's fault. It was the taker of the test, right? Praise the Lord. It was the taker of the test. And it's what the person that took the test knew or didn't know. Lack of knowledge. With a lack of knowledge comes a fear and an uncertainty. Yeah. A lack of knowledge comes fear and uncertainty. And the devil will eat your lunch. When things happen to your children, happen to your finances, happen to your body, happen to your businesses, and just boom, all of a sudden, fireworks of hell are just going off. We know this, that your response determines everything.
Amen.
It's just like that test in school. The test is there. Your response determines your grade. It's the same way with faith. Your response and how you respond in that fiery trial is everything. We know, because we've seen in the Word, people that responded wrong, it didn't work out. Can you remember some of the times in your life maybe you weren't on board? I mean, none of you guys. I mean, you're the group that came out on Wednesday. This is like the perfect group, right? You're here tonight. But you know those other people, the backslidden buzzards listening on live stream, you know, praise God. Of course, that's a joke, people. Lighten up on live stream. Hallelujah. But you know that. There's been times where you said, man, I wasn't in faith. It didn't work out for me. And then you applied faith to the situation. Wow, that was interesting how that worked. Praise God. When there's a lack of knowledge, there's a lack of certainty, a lack of boldness, and fear sets in. Y'all like the movie The Wizard of Oz? I love that movie. I don't know why. I love it. I think it creeps my sister out, if I'm not remembering. She's always afraid of that movie, but I don't know why. I love that movie. I just wish I could have dreams like that, you know? Where I don't know, something about it, just, wow, that sounds like so much fun. It looks like fun, but anyways, in The Wizard of Oz, think about it. When they had a lack of knowledge about the wizard, right? Fear, trembling, timid. But when they found out and had knowledge, the fear went away.
Right.
It's true, right? When they found out who he was, just a little old man, no problem here, not some big scary wizard. Hallelujah. Think about this now. When it comes to the area of authority, right? There's certain times where the Christian needs to use their authority. And when a Christian is not full of knowledge, they're not full of boldness, they're not full of faith when they don't have that knowledge, because they have nothing to stand on.
That's right.
They have nothing to stand on. You know, it's like this when you don't know how your boldness can go out the window. I've seen dogs with those electric underground fences. You know, when you first get one of those in, the way, at least the ones that I've been around work, the collar will start beeping that the dog can hear when it's starting to get closer to kind of warn the dog. If they get too close, well, they get a zap, and hopefully the beeping keeps them away. And so I don't know if this is the way you're supposed to do it, but the way I do it, I'd zap my dog a couple times and let him know this is when that goes ding, 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 and this, you're going to get to stay away from that noise, right? That's the whole thing, is to keep them safe from running away, from running into the road. But you can train a dog. I've seen dogs do this. You can train a dog, get him close to those boundaries, walk the boundaries so he kind of learns where that beeping is, and you can turn that fence off and that dog will stay right in your yard.
Yeah.
Lack of knowledge. The dog doesn't know that he can run. The dog doesn't know that he can break free, and that's the way Christians are. They just take whatever comes their way, whatever comes across their plate. This must be the hand I'm dealt, because they don't know. They don't know that you don't have to be poor. They don't know that when attacks happen to their children, stand up and take authority. You're the parent. They don't know in their finances, stand up, take authority. You have authority over those finances. When attacks come on your body, don't settle for that. And see, when you don't know, you're just going to sit there and wander around in your little fenced-in prison of no blessing and fear all around, not knowing that the fence is turned off and you can run, praise God. Jesus came to set us free. That's what he said. If you know the truth, it'll set you free. From what? That prison that you're in. So many Christians, they just don't know, and the devil takes advantage of them. Takes advantage of them. I have people call me that aren't in the church. I just had a phone call not too long ago talking to how fearful they were of getting older and being sick. And the whole thing that's come up on the inside of me, doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. But see, they didn't know. They don't know. They don't know. And so they're just fearful. I mean, that's just what happens, right? You just get older and you're laden with sickness and it's just no good and life's miserable when you get past a certain age. I mean, that's what they know. That's what they're being fed, because that's the knowledge they have. You know, the knowledge is that, well, when the economy's bad, you have to suffer. And when grandma had this and grandpa had this, you have to have it. Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. You don't know. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I want to say this, that now we're just kind of hitting on some things here. Talking to you about knowledge tonight. How important. We want to be faith giants, don't we?
Yeah.
I want to be a faith giant. Someone that people look at and say, man, anything comes his way, man, he's not moved. He's not swayed. That only comes from a confidence of knowing what you can do and what you can't do. Because isn't God the one we're having faith in?
Yes. Amen.
I mean, he's the one that's going to... I mean, yes, we use our faith, but we don't brag on our faith. We brag on the God that moves through our faith. But the faith gives him a pipeline to flow through. So I can't believe and have confidence for things if I don't know he's backing it. Well, that comes from knowledge. Knowing Jesus. Knowing my authority. Knowing what belongs to me. Knowing what was already paid for.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Knowledge.
Praise God.
And I'm going to make a bold statement. And it's the truth. What you do and don't know is life and death.
Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And I'll say this, and I'll bang the drum for the local church. It matters that you go to the right church. It absolutely matters that you go to the right church. Your life will be a result of what you hear and what you're surrounded by. Absolutely it will be. What you're being fed, that's why I remember, I'll just say this, maybe I shouldn't share this, I don't know, I'm just going to, because I don't have a major check in my heart, but you know, sometimes, well, it was not too long ago, I had went to pray over a blue card. Somebody had put down a name on a blue card for somebody's healing that refuses to go to church. And I went to pray for it. And I had an arresting in my spirit to stop. It's not going to work. Don't pray. Don't. They're in a doubt and unbelieving church. I can't trump that. I can't trump their own faith. And see, their faith is built up around the premises of this is the way it has to be. I can't be blessed. This is exactly what's going. Wherever you're hearing going to, that's the life you're going to live, because that's the hearing and the faith you're going to get. I am amazed at the lack of honor towards the person in somebody's life that is watching out for them and caring for them. Pastor Michael just had his 25th anniversary in ministry, oh, maybe, I don't know, 2-3 years ago it was, we had a big celebration at the Jamestown Church. And it was a big to-do, you know, and he called some of his spiritual sons, well, he didn't, Pastor Tim had set it, kind of set it up and had his spiritual sons come up and just say some few words about him. And I got up there in front of the whole crowd and I said, listen, I want to thank that man because without him, I don't have my, Abby wasn't born yet, without him, I don't have Caleb. And I mean that, without him, I don't have Caleb. And the reason being is because of the things that that man has taught me. The knowledge that he gave me, I've been, because I was in the right place, hearing the right things, I've been spared from some things. Yeah, praise. Not only just from the covering that he provides. See, the pastor that you're called to has an anointing on his life to care for you, has an anointing on his life to get you to where you need to be spiritually. You can't get there by yourself. You're not anointed to get there by yourself. I need a pastor to get me where I'm going. Praise God. We all do. Hallelujah. And so I say that. You say, what do you mean? Explain. I want to share some stories with you here tonight about knowledge, how it changed the situation and everything. I was working for the Walkers. This was probably been about 5 or 6 years ago now. And Courtney was pregnant with Caleb, and she was about 16 weeks long. And I got a call out in, when I was out in the grapes. I was trimming the grapes, and I got a call out there. I knew she had a doctor's appointment that day, so I was expecting it. But when I got the call, I kind of walked down the row a little bit to get away from everybody. And when I did that, you know, you could tell she wasn't too thrilled about what the appointment was. Well, basically, what we were told was that there was a good chance that she was going to have a miscarriage. Now, we're talking about Caleb, who's alive, healthy, and well right now. But she's going to have a miscarriage, that she had had quite a large tear in her placenta, and she was bleeding, and it just didn't look good, is what they were saying. Well, you know, when you hear that, it's shocking to the system. But there it is, the test gets laid before you, you're sitting in the schoolhouse, the test gets laid before you, your answers to that test are going to determine everything. And I'll tell you, naturally speaking, I wanted to get in fear, I wanted to you know, mope and sulk, why me, why is this happening to us? But I know that's not going to get the job done. It didn't get the job done for the children of Israel, and they got kept out of their promise for their reaction and their response. And so instantly, I went into training mode. You know, it's like when a person goes to boot camp, and then they're out in war, the reason they train them so hard for 12 weeks and are on top of them is so they can simulate what that experience is going to be like. Then when it happens, they're not sitting there, okay, step one, step two. No, they're just reacting. They're just reacting. And because I had been trained so well, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on my training. Because I've been was trained so well, I instantly went into faith mode. Hung that phone. First of all, I said to her on the phone, well, it doesn't matter what they say. We know the result. Yes. I hung up that phone. I said, in the name of Jesus, that thing will be completely healed. That baby will be born. He'll be strong, healthy. He'll serve God, fulfill the plan of God in his life. Praise the Lord. Went home, laid hands on her belly, spoke those words over her. Praise God. Well, she went through to have the pregnancy. And I've told you this story before. He was a big baby, 9.6 pounds. I don't know what was going on in there, but he's getting big. And she pushed and pushed for 2 hours. And the mood of the room went from excitement to this new life is coming to the baby stuck in the birth canal. And now I'm looking at the doctor who's in charge, who has this knowledge, and the nurses, and they're scrambling around because he's not getting the proper amount of air. And you hear him saying things, and all these things are coming into your head. And they're saying, we got to get her upstairs and rush her into an emergency C-section ASAP. And so they're doing all that. And again, it's shocking to the system. Shocks the system at first, the natural body. And so they went upstairs and got her going or whatever and put me in this little room, gave me the little gown with the little mushroom cap thingy on my head. And I'm sitting there, and you can tell there's this air of panic there. And I'll tell you what, you talk about being tempted to just sulk and cry. Why me doesn't get it done?
Right. That's right.
Oh, God, why? That doesn't get it done. That does not get the job done. It just doesn't. And so instantly I went into, what have I been trained? What have I been taught? What is all the knowledge that I've received? God, we knew that this baby was to be born, that this baby that was from God, praise the Lord, it was a It was just a time in our lives when it was just a miracle that he just perfect time. I mean, just awesome. And so I went into training, started confessing. No, he, because you know, you're hearing things like lack of air and what that's going to do. Oh no, this baby will be strong, healthy, sound mind, complete whole and body, no birth defects, none of that stuff that you're hearing. And praise the Lord, he was born healthy. And then, I'll tell you what, my faith was like, you know, muscles get bigger when you're in the gym. And now you're thinking, that's why he's so in shape. He said, actually, no, that's why you see what you see, because I haven't been spending much time in the gym. But when you go to the gym, your muscles get bigger. And when you work, see, the way you increase your faith is by working your faith. Faith comes by hearing the word, but the more you use your faith, the stronger your faith will get. It's like a muscle. It'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. I'll tell you what, during that whole process of her pregnancy and the birth, I'll tell you what, you talk about being in the gym. Oh man, I felt like I was being trained heavy duty during that time. And then they tell us he has a heart problem when he's born. I mean, he's born, now he's born, the doctor comes in all serious, your child's got a heart condition. And I said, I didn't mean to say this the way it sounds. I said, no, he doesn't. I said that to the doctor. And he said, yes, he does. I said, let me see my son. And again, right now it sounds like I'm Mr. Bold Guy, but I just was at that point fed up. Fed up with, you know, you sometimes get sick and tired of what the devil's doing. And you finally put your foot down and say enough stuff. I said, I didn't mean to be disrespectful to him. I said, let me see my son. Sorry, we can't. I said, sir, he's my child. Let me see him. Not only is he my child, but I'm his pastor. I have a right to see. I have a right to get in there and see him. And I got in there, I laid hands and said, oh no, you don't, heart. I said, I just want to tell you, heart, you're going to be perfect, healthy and whole, top of his head to the bottom. Right in front of the nurses, everything, thought I was crazy. The doctor comes back within a few hours that this condition, if it gets better, takes years for people for it to get better. Comes back within a few hours, says, I don't know what happened, but it's gone. I said, I told you it wasn't there. I said, yeah. But what happened? What was the reason? Training. Knowledge. If I wouldn't know that that was available to me, if I didn't know, you know, it sounds like when I'm preaching that, what a faith giant is. It all came from knowledge. No faith giant here. It's just what I knew. I acted on what I knew. You can't act on what you don't know. Yeah. The devil will take advantage of it. Praise God. Aren't you glad for what you know? Go with me real quick to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. And of course, you know Caleb. There's nothing wrong with that boy. Praise the Lord. Except he's got a strange obsession with sweepers. Still's got that thing going in his life. I don't know what's up with that. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. I already can see it playing out. Abby, see, my dad didn't teach me a lick of anything growing up. Rick Walker will attest to this. Rick Walker is the one that gave me the nickname Lightning when I hammer, because I don't hit the same place twice. And I'm terrible when it comes to construction things and mechanical things. My dad never taught me, but I'll tell you what, if you want to go out and shag some fly balls or throw a football around, I'll be able to hang with you in that category. But why am I telling you this? There's a reason why I'm telling you this. I can't remember why I'm telling you this, but it'll come back to me. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2, that'll come back to me. There's a reason why I was saying that. Hallelujah. Oh, Caleb, I was saying, I just know, okay, Abby's going to be my little athlete. She already throws a ball better than him. I'm not kidding. It's true. She already throws a ball, catches a ball better than Caleb. But that kid with mechanics and stuff, I'm like, where did he get this stuff? He's already taking things apart and doing stuff, but he's going to be able to fix all dad's stuff that dad breaks. Praise God. But Abby's going to be my little softball and soccer player. Praise God. I got to have one of those in there. I got to be able to teach her something. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2. Now look at this. And you know this, that I found that when you take a test, the knowledge doesn't come automatically. You had to be in class. You had to go home, read it in your books. Most people can't just hear it one time. Now, there are extremely gifted people that can just hear it one time, read it one time. Most people have to study it, memorize it, go over and over again, and put the time in. The knowledge to pass that test didn't come automatically. It's important that we know that. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. I'll tell you, that's a good thing to have multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now notice this, through. So grace and peace are going to come through something. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Do you see that? Yeah. Grace and peace multiplying in your life depends on knowledge. Knowledge of what? God and of Jesus our Lord. What's knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is just the knowledge of the Word. That's all the knowledge of God is the knowledge of the Word. The Bible says when you get the knowledge of Jesus and what God has done for you, what the Word has said, grace and peace will multiply in your life. Right. Yeah. So you could say it this way. With no knowledge, you'll have a lack of grace and a lack of peace in your life.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go on. According as His divine power has given unto us. Now notice this. All things. Now, don't say this out loud because we always get someone that puts their foot in their mouth and then's embarrassed. So don't say it out loud, just think this. But when it says He's given unto us all things according as His divine power, what's that word after power? Have. Now again, please don't shout this out. I don't want you to be embarrassed if you don't get it right. But that word have, is it past, present, or future tense? It is past tense. I have to stop people because every time someone says, that's future! I was like, oh, man, no, it's not. It's past tense. And I don't feel bad for people. It says, according as His divine power, hath. Notice this, hath. Not He's going to. It's important that you know that because it shows you some of these things. Hath given unto us. What things? All things. Well, that pretty much completes everything. That would be spiritual and natural, wouldn't it? All things that what? Pertain unto life, which is the natural, and godliness, which is the spiritual. So He's covering both realms, because I'll tell you, the religious people say, oh yeah, by His stripes we're healed spiritually. Oh yeah, He's blessed us just spiritually. No, 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 no. God's provided naturally and spiritually. Now He says all things. Now let me ask you some things that pertain to your life. Does gas money pertain to your life? Does grocery money? Does mortgage or rent payment pertain to your life? Does car insurance pertain to your life? Does a car payment pertain to your life? Does clothes money, recreation money, things for your children, does that pertain unto life? It pertains unto my life. I need those things. Like I said, if I want to put clothes on my kid's body, when I go into the store, they haven't yet to let me buy with a smile. I mean, I know it's a nice smile, but they still have yet to say, sure, take it. I need money. I need money. When I go to the gas pump, I need money. When I go to pay my insurance bill, I need money, praise God. Well, those are things that pertain to life and godliness. Now look at this. The Bible says God has already given it unto you. And you might say, oh, I sure don't see it in my life. God must have missed me when it was handout day. No. You're missing something. You're missing something. He's given unto us all things. So if you could say to yourself, okay, I could see in my life that there's some lack there. There's some lack in some certain areas. Now, I don't mean if you're going through a test and trial. Don't start pointing the gun at yourself when you're going through a test and trial. I'm talking about a consistent lifestyle of not having enough, of consistent lifestyle struggling and always having trouble after trouble after trouble. That's not how God intended for you to live. Never intended for you to live that way. But He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now look at it. Here it comes now. Through. All things that you need pertaining to life, everything I just mentioned, health for your body, food, clothing, shelter, a car, whatever you need concerning your life, it's going to come through the knowledge of Him. Amen. Do you see it there? That has called us into glory and virtue. Why? Because when you get the knowledge, wow, I can have my bills paid. Wow, my body can be healed. When you get the knowledge, faith rises up and then faith takes what's yours.
Amen.
You access things by faith. Knowledge. Praise God. Let's keep reading. Who's called us through knowledge of Him that calls us to glory to virtue, whereby what? Through knowledge are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The Bible says when you get the knowledge of God and you start partaking of these things that He's pertaining to life and godliness, you partake of God's nature. What's the divine nature? Health. What's the divine nature? Provision. What's the divine nature that God is the divine nature? Peace of mind. No worries, no anxieties, no stress. When you get knowledge of God and act on these things, these are the result, praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, if you'd think that it would be silly If I was left an inheritance and from somebody in another state and they left me $1 million, legally, I'm a millionaire, aren't I? But if somewhere in the whole death process and all the paperwork and lawyers, someone forgets to contact me, I can be a millionaire, but if I don't know it, it doesn't matter that I'm a millionaire. It doesn't matter that legally I have the right to live like a millionaire. But if I don't know it, I won't be able to partake of it. It's the same way with Christians. They just lack knowledge. He says, given us great and precious promises that through these you might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And we're going to close here with this. What do we do then? What do we do with this? What is that? If we see the importance of knowledge. You know, we're a faith church. But you can't talk about faith without talking about knowledge. Because with no knowledge, there is no faith. So what do we do then? Well, we make efforts to obtain the knowledge. You make a direct effort. You say in your mind, draw a line and say, I need knowledge. I need to know that I know that I know. It's not enough just knowing that God can. That's not enough knowledge. Well, I know God can heal me. That's great. So what? Most people know that God can. In fact, most people are wrong in their thinking. They think God can do anything. Well, He can't. He can't do anything. He can't trump your faith. What do we always say? If God could do anything, He'd make you tithe. He'd make you love one another, right? He'd make you be faithful to come to church if He could do anything, but He can't do anything. Hallelujah. But what do? We make efforts to come to places where we can obtain the knowledge. Go to Psalm 92 and verse 13. We're almost done. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Knowledge. Praise God. I'm just so thankful for somebody sowing knowledge into my life. Oh my gosh. I mean, I could go over situation after situation. Those are just three that I talked about with Caleb. I mean, I could go over financial things till tomorrow morning, till the sun came up, about how when something came across my plate, my response determined the right reaction, or a tragedy comes and you respond right, and it all came from knowledge. Praise God. It's amazing how little sometimes people value knowledge. It's amazing how people are take it or leave it because they don't have the revelation of that they need it. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Those, so there's a certain group of people, that be planted. You know what I notice about the oak trees around my house? They don't get up and move around. Well, I don't think I like this yard. See what it's like across the street. Maybe the wind will blow different and hit me a different way over there. I mean, those that be planted. Planted means rooted, grounded in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Well, if it was just about the act of going to church, there'd be a whole lot of people that were a lot more blessed than they are. It's not just coming to church. It's going to the right church, amen, right? Yeah. Hearing the right things that bring you knowledge and bring you the faith. That's why your life flourishes. Life doesn't flourish just by the act of going to church. There's lots of people that are going to church and nothing's changing in their lives. It's because you go to the right church, you plant yourself there, your faith. That's why I will always bang the drum of church attendance. I mean, almost every service, I will tell people how important it is to be there. When guest ministers come in the Fredonia Church and the Jamestown Church and these different churches, the family church are springing up and they go, I will always encourage people to go. I don't care how far of a drive it is. I don't care how much out of your day it will take time, because I know the importance of the knowledge, of you getting the knowledge and getting the faith. It's worth it. It's worth the gas money. It's worth getting home later. It's worth taking the time to get ready. It's worth it. Because if you don't have the knowledge, you don't have it. Praise God. You don't have it. And so those that be planted. So what you do is you plant yourself somewhere. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. We know that, but it's still a good reminder. It's still a good reminder. You get in a place. You put yourself in places where the word is being taught. And we know this. I don't mind saying this. You can't get everything you need from your pastor. Now you'll get the majority of what you need from your pastor, because that's who you'll be around. But you can't get everything. I can't perfect you fully, because I don't stand in the office of a prophet. I don't stand in the office of a teacher or an evangelist or an apostle. Bible says he's given gifts unto men, right? Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. If it just said the pastor for the perfecting of the saints, well, this would all you would need to do. But when these guest ministers come in with different anointings on their life, we need to avail ourselves because they got something to offer you that I don't. Praise God. And I want to be perfected, so I make time to go. So we plant ourselves in the local church. We avail ourselves to the gifts that God has placed in our life. And let me tell you something. In the family church circles, we are blessed. Our pastor has attracted some of the top people in the body of Christ that we're associated with. The people that come in, stand in these different offices, have the opportunity to get you to where you need to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then the third thing that you do besides planting yourself in the house of God, availing yourselves to the gifts, we're talking about knowledge, is you make time in your private life to get to know Him. You know, it's interesting. If you just were faithful in church and that's all that it counted, well, let's ask you this. How well would a marriage or a courting relationship or a dating relationship before, how well would that work? Well, let's hang out for an hour and a half a week and see, and that's, or how would a relationship work at home? Let's just talk an hour and a half a week. Well, and then maybe on Wednesday nights we'll get together for another hour, but then the rest of the week it wouldn't go very well. You wouldn't find out too much about that person. You wouldn't get to know that person. How did you get to know that person? Spending time with them. Time with them. Knowing inside and out of these people. Same with God. Same with God. If you just expect to just know what you need to know about Him for coming to church for an hour and a half on Sunday and a little over hour on a Wednesday night, you're not going to get everything that you need. If you're spending 20 hours in front of the television and 20 minutes with God, the scales are going to be off a little bit. You know what I mean? If you're spending hours and hours at your hobby and recreation, right? If your job, I'll tell you this, the devil will try to keep you from saying this, but it's the truth. I will never trade my spiritual life for a paycheck. Amen. Never. Amen. Never. Ever, ever, ever. And people have traded in their spiritual, well, and they'll get mad as a hornet at you. Well, I need to work. I know. I agree with you. The Bible says you do. But I wouldn't trade it in. I wouldn't. See, they've placed more of a value on the paycheck than they have what they receive from God. Absolutely. Don't trade that in. Don't trade that in. My goodness. And if you're just coming once a week, you're not going to get what you need. You need to spend time alone with God, getting in the Word, going over what the pastor preached on, going over in the Word what God's leading you to. Get that knowledge. Why? The more you get, the more your faith that you'll be able to have, the more Word that will come into your life. Amen? So we've seen the importance of it. We've seen the importance of it, so let's make sure that we're doers of the Word in these areas. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word tonight. And Lord, thank You for the precious people that would come out. Father, that's just as simple as we can put it. Knowledge brings power. Knowledge brings confidence. Lord, Paul was an example. He said he counted all things loss in comparison to knowing You. So Father, our goal is to know You more. Oh, Jesus, You paid such a price for me. I want to make sure, Lord, if You paid that price, I want to make sure that I'm getting my money's worth out of it, Father. I want to make sure that I'm getting everything that the cross provided me. Everything that You said I could have through faith. I don't want to leave anything on the table. Father, I pray and believe that everyone else has that same heart. So, Lord, from this night out, we make a determination to go forward in knowing You more. If it means that we have to sacrifice a little bit, well, it's worth it. If it means, you know, we'll make a commitment to come to church on Wednesday nights, or when there's a guest minister, we'll make the effort to go. If it means turning off the TV and spending that hour that we'd watch TV and spending it in the Word, Father, it's worth it. It's worth it. We count all those things loss in comparison to knowing You. And Father, we give You the praise. We give You the glory tonight. Let's just begin to worship Him, make sure there's nothing else that He wants done. Just thank Him in your seats. Just thank Him for what you've received. Thank Him for the good things you've received. We bless You, Father. We bless You, Father. We bless You, Father. We bless You, Lord. We glorify You. We magnify You. We praise You, Lord. We honor You. We magnify You. We bless You, Lord. We bless You, Father. We bless You, Father. We glorify You. We magnify You. We magnify You. We magnify You. We praise You and bless You tonight. Anything You want to do, Father. Anything you want to do, Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you. We praise you. We praise you. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. If I could get these four young men to come forward real quick, if you guys could come up here. If you boys could just come up here and get in the line, I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Just stand right next to each other, right about there. Just stand in a line. Start down here. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. How your life turns out will be determined by the decisions and the steps you make right now. For I can remember in my life, at the ages that you guys are, some of the wrong decisions that I made because I wasn't in a place like you are, that set me on course and set me back years, set me back financially. So make sure you're making the right choices. And don't forget that the right choices are always the God choices. So make a commitment to dive in and go head first with Him. Make a commitment to be all in. Yeah, Father, yeah. Janae, will you come forward to this? This is concerning the young people tonight. Everything I just said, Janae, is in line for you too. And so make an effort tonight, a decision for Jesus, that I'm going to do it God's way, that I'm going to do it His way. I'm not going to compromise, for my life depends on it. For the Bible says that you will reap what you sow. And if you'll begin, even at a young age, to sow into righteousness, to sow into the things of God, you'll reap righteousness. You'll reap the blessings of God later on. Those around you will fall away. Those around you will have troubles and trials and tests. Those around you will have failures and faults that you'll never have because of decisions you've made. And you'll look back on this night and you'll say, that was the crossroads of my life. That was the night when everything went in a direction for God. And I'm so thankful for that night. So be ye doers of God's word. Plant yourself and be faithful, and you'll see the blessings of God come to pass in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless her. In the name of Jesus, bless him. In the name of Jesus, bless him. In the name of Jesus, yes, Father. Koto na maenda, imputusanati, in the musana, in the elefante, in the mosunduko, in the mai. And as you seek me in the nighttime hours, I'm going to start to speak to you. I'm going to start to reveal myself unto you. I'm going to start to reveal my plan that I have for your life unto you. So seek me. Spend times in worship with me. Spend times in the nighttime hours when you're laying there and you can't sleep. Take advantage of those times to seek God, for His plan will be revealed to you. And oh, it's a good plan. Oh, it's a good plan. It's a good plan. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless them. Father, I thank you for these kids. Let's just thank God for these kids. Let's just stretch forth our hands towards these kids. Put our faith out there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command a blessing on them. Father, we thank you, Lord, that they'll fulfill your plan. They'll walk into everything you have for them, Father. They'll marry the right person, Father. They'll end up in the right place, in the bullseye of where you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Glory to God. We thank you for that. You know, young people, the way your life turns out, if you want to be blessed, be doers of what you just heard. Seek God, don't turn away from Him. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for everything that was imparted and said to us here tonight. We give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. We know we have an assignment to do and some homework. We got to learn more, right? Praise God. Well, don't forget Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, if you go to this church. We'll see you then. You're dismissed.